Our scripture reading this morning is found in the New Testament. Jennifer Kerwin is going to read for us. Let's stand as we listen to the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
You may be seated. Thanks.
There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. The light of the love of God's word drives out fear. I'm going to tell you a story to begin. Some of you have heard it. I think it's okay to repeat it again. It's a story about me. Some of you have not heard it. It's all about fear. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I woke up one morning. Well, I really wasn't mourning yet. It was during the night. And I woke up in my bedroom with my two younger brothers in our little shack of a house in southwest of Pittsburgh. And I looked over in a corner and there was a bear. It was a bear. And I was terrified. Fear. I couldn't move. I was so fearful that I was afraid to yell. I was afraid to warn my brothers. I was afraid to call for my parents. I just laid there watching the bear, waiting for the bear to move. Well, there was a bedroom window, and as morning began to dawn, the light began to shine through the window, and it revealed that the bear was nothing but a blanket that my mother had thrown over a chair. Yeah, it's funny, but it wasn't funny to an 8 or 9 year old kid that was petrified. I was so fearful. There's been all kinds of studies done about the problem with fear in America. Americans are afraid. You say, not me. Well, there's people that are fearful of death. They're fearful of sickness. They're fearful of their health. They're fearful of failure. They have a fear of retirement. They have a fear of places. They have a fear of people. Even some might have a fear of success. Those are just some examples of what people fear. So this morning I challenge you and I ask you this question. Do you find yourself living in bondage to some type of fear? Over my years of being a pastor, I am surprised, I maybe shouldn't be, but I am, that how many men live in fear. But that is not how God wants us to live. See, if we are living in fear, that's our choice. That is our choice. See, God wants us to live in love without fear. This is the passage that we just heard. 1 John 4:18 says, love drives out fear. Love drives out specific fears. Some of those examples that I just gave about death and sickness and health and money and retirement and people. Love drives out any bondage to fear in those specific areas. So what is my purpose today? I want us to learn and apply the truth of God's word that love drives out fear. As I am sure that there are some here today, if not many, I hope not many, that are in bondage to fear. What I want to do is take, there's so many examples of fear, so I want to break them down and put them into three broad categories, just so that we have a handle to get a hold of this matter. And I want to talk about the fear of punishment, or God's judgment, the fear of life's insecurities, meaning how we live our everyday life, and then the fear of others, or our relationships that we have to face and deal with. Now, let me clarify, as we get into this subject, we're talking about love driving out fear, and the reality of fear. I am not going to address the subject of the demonic, the spirit of fear. I believe in a spirit of fear. There is a demonic force at work in our world today. Even affects Christians. Christians can be demonized by a spirit of fear. That doesn't mean you're demon-possessed, but you're in bondage to a spirit of fear. I am not specifically addressing that. I want to address fear that grips us because of the lack of love in our lives, or the lack of appropriating God's love. So let's take these three big categories and see how love relates to them. How does God's love drive out fear in those areas? God's love drives out the fear of punishment, or, in other words, God's judgment. I don't know if you listened to verses 17 and 18 very carefully. Let me share them again for you. Listen to the words. Love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence, catch that word, confidence on the day of judgment, because fear has to do with punishment. On the day of judgment. On the day of judgment. One more time. On the day of judgment. See, God will judge everyone. God will deal with sin, God will punish sin, and he's going to deal with everybody that has rejected his offer of salvation that has been presented to us through Jesus Christ. That's why we sing about Jesus and the redeemed. He shed his blood on the cross, and yet there are people that will reject that. They will reject the fact that they are sinners and need to deal with that, and they've rejected God's free gift of eternal life by his grace through faith. See, Jesus really did die for us. The language that John uses here in verse 10, that he is an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus' death is an atoning, covering, propitiation, covering for our sins. Sin needs to be dealt with, and Jesus dealt with that, but our responsibility is to accept that and receive that and apply that in our personal lives. And what does this have to do with fear? A tremendous amount. If, capital IFF, if our eternal destiny is not secure because of our trust in what Jesus Christ has done and who he is and what he's done for us, we have a great reason to live in fear. I don't know about you, but I remember high school and then even in college, we had to read Jonathan Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Anybody else read that? Maybe I'm just the only aged one here, you know. Okay, Carol's on the front row, and she said yes. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Jonathan Edwards, a great puritanical preacher, not that we would agree with everything, but it is said that when he preached that sermon in his congregation in Puritan New England, that the people in the pews actually were so gripped with fear, they thought the floor was going to unload in front of them, and they would drop straight into hell. Do you like that kind of preaching every Sunday? No. No, not really, I know. If our eternal destiny is not secure because of our trust in who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross, we have a great reason to live in fear. So let me ask you pointedly, very personally this morning. I don't do this every Sunday, but from time to time it needs to be done. Do you have assurance of your eternal salvation because of Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice for you? Or are you living in rebellion against him or trying to be religious in your own way? See, if you're living in rebellion, I don't need you, Jesus. I'll do what I want. Or if I'm a pretty good person, I'm trying to do the best I can, you know. That's not good enough. Not by God's standard. If you say that's good enough, then you might as well be spitting in Jesus' face and make his death useless. And how dare we even think that? Man, I'm pretty religious. I'm a pretty good person. Man, I can get to heaven, you know. Well, why did Jesus die? Because we're not good enough. And we can't do good enough. It's impossible. Now, that's basic stuff for us as evangelicals. We know that. But it's not necessarily basic for every individual that enters the doors of Edinburgh Road Chapel. See, if you've rejected that or you rebel against that, or if you're trusting in your own, well, I'm pretty good. I think I'm good. I'm not sure. I hope so. There'll always be doubt and there will be fear will begin to creep in because you're going to have to stand before God someday. You're going to have to stand before God. That's what John is talking about here. This day of judgment, because fear has to do with punishment. We don't like that word. I know, but it's there. I've told this story about Tim so many times that I think whenever I'm long gone from Edinburgh or Chapel, you remember at least a story about Tim. Tim used to be bad in church when he was a kid. Tim's my youngest son who played guitar this morning. All I had to do was Tim was being bad. I go, Tim, be quiet. I'm preaching, you know, this was down in Maryland. Be quiet, Tim. Tim knew automatically what was going to come. He's heading to his room right after church, up the street to our house, and he's heading to his room knowing punishment was coming. His older brother and sister started feeling sorry for him and put cardboard in his pants. But Tim knew what was coming. Punishment was coming. And why was there punishment? Because I loved him. I love you, son. We will stand before God. You will stand before God. The day of judgment is coming. And if you do not have assurance in your relationship to God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you, and you trust what he's done, not what you think you should do, but what he's done for you, the doubt will begin to come in, the confusion and the fear. But I tell you today that he loves you. God loves you. Jesus died because he loves you. And if you have not settled that issue with God today through repentance of your rebellion and trust in Jesus Christ, do it. Do it. He loves you. And that's a choice that takes you from fear to peace. A second broad category that we're focusing on in this passage of what God's love does. God's love drives out the fear of life's insecurities. Life's insecurities. Verse 16. NIV translation says, and so we know, underline no, and rely on the love God has for us, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This is all about relying upon God. These words are about how we live and in whom and in what we find security and hope and ability. That involves just life. Where is my hope? Where is the source of my trust? And where am I going to get all the provisions that I need for life? John, the writer of this, says, we know and rely on his love. Whoever lives in love. What do you rely upon to get you through life? What do you rely upon to get you through life? Now, it's one thing to say I rely upon God. And if I ask you that going out the door this morning, and I won't ask you that, by the way, and you said, God, I'd say, okay, well, that's wonderful. But you walk out that door and you jump in your car and you head home and, man, you need some other source of strength or liquid courage or whatever you want to call it. I got to pause there because I got to get this off my chest. Before we went to the concert last night, earlier in the day, Connie and I did a late breakfast, early lunch, and we went to a local restaurant. I will not mention its name, but I would highly suggest that you don't go there. You can ask me later. We walk in. First song, there was a jukebox, and people were putting money in the jukebox, and it used the N-word about 20 times. Okay? Whoa, I don't know, do I want to stay here? The next three songs, and I counted them, Connie and I stayed, were all about liquid courage. You know what that phrase means, right? Got to have some liquid courage, and I'm crying in my beer over my lost girlfriend or ex-wife or whatever it was. And then the final song that I was ready to walk out is using all kind of filthy language. So when we were done, the waitress asked, how's everything? And I said, food's fine, but I want to talk to the manager. Okay? Manager wasn't there. He's on vacation. The owner was on vacation. So the bartender came over and said, how can I help you? And I told him just what I told you about the music. And I said, I looked him right in the face. I said, do you want me to come back here? I said, I won't bring my grandchildren back here. You got to get rid of the music. He says, well, I'm telling them not to put money in the jukebox anymore. I said, no. That's not my point. Take it out of the jukebox. Get rid of it. You want me to come back here? My point is that there are people relying upon stuff just to get them through life. The three country songs that were being played was about liquid courage. What do you rely on to get you through life? Other people? Your own ability? Something artificial? Drugs? Cocaine? Some opioid? Some prescription pill? Is that what you rely upon to get you through life? I can't function unless I need it. I need this. I need this. And if you don't have it, you begin to go, oh, you go bonkers and anxiety and frustration and worry and fear. See, I tell you that there is only one stable, sure thing in life, and it is God's love for you. Nice Sunday morning sermon phrase, isn't it? but it's true. Life is tough. Life is filled with pain and hurt and problems and shallowness and emptiness and sickness and tragedies and injustices and rape and murder and hate and racism, etc., etc. Life is filled with that. But where is your hope? Upon what do you depend to get through life? All the quick examples that I gave at fear a few moments ago. See, we live in an environment in our world, and certainly we are very sensitive to that now in history in 2017, and yet nothing has really changed. You could go back to the Garden of Eden, and there wasn't social media and all that kind of stuff, and there were no North Koreas, and there was no Islam, and there was no other isms, but the ground was still fertile for fear. Why do you think Adam and Eve hid and tried to hide from God? Fear will be the normal reflection in our lives if we live without the love of God. See, if you're trying to live God's love, I think I can handle this, I think I can deal with it, and if I don't, I'll take a little substitute, I'll take a little liquid courage, or I'll take a little pill, or whatever it is, I'll get through. God's love, man, that's just a little too radical for me. Do you believe that God loves you? And I don't mean you, I mean you. Honestly, just reflect for a moment. If you've never done this, go, when you get home, look in the mirror and look at yourself. Give yourself a look eyeball to eyeball and just say, you know, God loves me. God loves me. I am very special. I'm talking about you, not just me. See, we are very special to God, and God loves you. Another very important question in reference to fear and love. Does God make mistakes with your life? Never. Is God sovereign over everything in the universe except you? You know, sometimes as Bible-believing Christians, we talk about God, and we're theists. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus, and God is at the center of my life, and Jesus is at the center of my life. But we're really practical atheists. We can quote metaphorically, walk out the doors of the church on Sunday, singing, but we can be singing about God, and I trust Jesus, and you know, I walk by faith and trust and obey, and wonderful songs. And then when we hit home or the restaurant or the job on Monday, it's, I'm going to live like a practical atheist. You see, does God make mistakes in your life? Never. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God. I love my children. Yeah, even though I spanked Tim and Mark and Don and Suzanne. Suzanne's our youngest. I think she got spanked once, right, Tim? Tim will tell you, she barely got spanked. But anyway, I love my kids and I love my grandkids. I've been even blessed to spank a couple of them. I have great grandkids. I have yet to spank any of them. But I love them. But my love for my family is about that big when it comes compared to God's love for you. I'm standing here going, man, that's nice. That guy said some nice words. Doesn't that sound good? But it's true. See, it's true. And he wants us to learn to live in his love, because as we do, we learn what it means to have complete trust in him and dependence upon him. His power, His ability, His provision, His perfect will with absolutely no mistakes. God's love drives out the fear of life's insecurities as we learn to live in complete dependence upon Him and nothing else. And our dependence must not be in our spouse or in our family. Somebody's going to think I'm wacko for saying that. And I love my wife and I love my family, and there's things that we need to do and we're responsible, but our total dependence, our final dependence, cannot be on our spouse or our family or our parents, our children. Our dependence must definitely never be in government, right? Amen? Whew, scared me there. I thought you were going to be, you know, wimping out on me. Our dependence must not be in technology or medicine, and praise God for the advances and medicine and so forth. Our dependence is not in our savings account or our bank account or even in our ability to make money, and none of that is wrong. But our dependence, our final dependence, must not be in that. It must be in God's love. And we sit back and we rest and we go, wow, He provides everything that I need. And yes, life is tough. It's cancer, heart problems. There's injustice. There's injustice. There's hate. There's racism. There's people that want to kill us. But God never makes mistakes. To me, that is the most dynamic, exciting way to live. They can kill my body, but they can't kill my soul. That doesn't mean I'm not going to protect my family. That's another sermon, okay? But I'm ready to die for Jesus. And I'm not going to hate anybody that tries to kill me, because I live in God's love. He provides everything I need. Third broad area that we need to touch on, God's love drives out the fear of others. The fear of others. And we probably just touched on that briefly in the last couple sentences. Verses 20 and 21, for anyone who does not love his brother cannot love God. Man, what an appropriate verse for today, right? In the light of what has happened in the United States, that has been happening. Anyone who does not love his brother cannot love God. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This passage is about fear versus love. By the way, and I know people are concerned about what's happened in Charlottesville, and it's been happening for years and years. It's not anything new. How in the world would a group of people professing Christians demonstrate racism and hate? How could professing Christians do that? Well, very easy. You read history, study history. I'm not a history buff, but I've been around enough in college and graduate school and so forth, and reading, and you know I like to read, that oftentimes there were many situations and churches and church groups in the South, and not just the South, but I'll use the South as a metaphor here, that taught from pulpits that the black man was less than white. You think about that for a moment, that a black person is inferior to a white because that's how God made them. And when that is steeped in your theology and your belief, there's absolutely no way, it's impossible to love that person as a brother, because he's not a brother. He's not fully human. Do you see the demonicness behind that? Violates everything in God's word. But, see, God's answer, love drives out fear. And when you are dealing with a people that you don't see as people, there's going to be fear. You don't want them to take over. You know, that kind of attitude. So we better take over and we better rule. And you don't see them as a brother, be it. And you could go all the way down the various shades, you know, black and brown and yellow, and all the way down to us people that are pink. God's love drives out fear. Because when you begin to see somebody as your brother, and it means brother and sister, God's word says you will love them. You will love them. The answer for the hate and the racism is the love of God. The love of God. See, we live in a culture, we live in a society, we live in a time in history. And again, it's not new. We just see it more because of social media and all the technology that we have today. That problem's been here for generations, centuries, years. That fear of others begins to be manifest in various ways. Control, personal violence, you want to harm someone. Sin as rebellion against the Lord may lead to hate and greed and violence and war and death. Now, let me pause for a moment. Does God love the sinner? Absolutely. Does God love the terrorist? Absolutely. Does God love the racist? Absolutely. Just don't forget that. He loves them as a person. Neat little phrase. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Neat little package way to say it. May not be the best way to deal with it. But God does love the sinner. And when we begin to see people as our brothers, as our human brothers, and then our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and we love them as brothers, that drives out the fear. That drives out the fear. Even when there is injustice. We all know that wonderful story of Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis. His brothers, because of jealousy, sold him in slavery. And he says to them when they finally meet down in Egypt, he says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God makes no mistakes with our lives. Even when there's injustice, God makes no mistakes. Was 9/11 a mistake by God? No. Was it man's injustice and man's hate? Absolutely. But it wasn't a mistake with God. Was he asleep when the terrorist struck in Barcelona? Or the racist in Charlotte? Was God asleep? Was God like, "Where are you, God?" No. God's love drives out the fear of others. Because they can't do anything outside the Father's perfect will for my life. God hates sin. He is not the author of evil or sin. And he takes men's evil acts against us and brings out good. Revenge is God's responsibility, not ours. Society absolutely must be established in the righteousness and the justice of God as it lives out of his love and out of his truth. And yet we know that not everyone will choose to live that way. And the result is violence and crime and hurt. But how will we live? God's perfect love drives out fear as we begin to see our fellow man as brothers. Those in the body of Christ as brothers. And we make that choice. I choose to love them. I will hate their sin, but I will love them. I will not live in fear. I will live in God's love for me and God's love that is for my absolute best and his perfect will God never makes mistakes. Let's summarize. God's love drives out the fear of punishment or God's judgment. God's love drives out the fear of life's insecurities. And God's love drives out the fear of others, that God never makes mistakes. Are you living in God's love for you? Trust in Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice for you. Live in dependence upon His love and His ability to provide for your daily needs. Know that no one can do anything to you outside of God's good and God's perfect will for your life. Absolutely nothing. See, there is absolutely no need to live in the bondage to fear. Trust and rest in His love. I'm concerned today that there's someone here today struggling with fear. Maybe it's a fear of judgment. Maybe you're not ready to stand before God because you've never secured your life in Jesus Christ's atoning death and sacrifice, and you need to do that. Maybe you're here and you're in bondage to the fear that you're so wrapped up in the fear of your own health or some financial thing. Or maybe you're here in bondage because of a fear of others. Maybe one person. Maybe there's someone you hate. Maybe there's someone you hate. And that hate actually produces fear in your life. Make a decision. Say, I want to live in your love, God. I want to live in your love. Let's stand and pray. Let's talk to the Father. Speak to Him. You talk to Him about any fear in your life. Father, we sing, great is Thy faithfulness, and You are faithful. Thank You for Your word. It's truth. We don't have to be in bondage to fear. That Your wonderful, awesome, unbelievable love drives out that fear. Teach us to live in Your love. Teach us that. Now, Father, we're going to leave this building, and I pray that we will leave breathing in Your presence. Breathe in Your presence moment by moment by the power of Your Spirit. For the glory of Jesus, I pray. Amen.